This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
We got more of this Peyton Watson stuff, and we'll talk about it. But here's my gripe today. We talked about Dave Yeager, the Nuggets hiring Dave Yeager. Why are you guys acting like this is a bad thing? I mean, even our guy, Sean Keeler, who will be on today. Nuggets hiring Dave Yeager is good for Nikola Jokic, but could be very bad for David Adelman. We'll discuss. We'll get into all of it. I think we're going to have the meeting of the mindless today, too. Derbs, the dude down the hall, and Tanner Schwint will join us. It's going to be a short show somewhat today, so we got Rockies midday. Keep it here, though. We're going to have a fun time. The whole show starts right now. After the hour, welcome into the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Michael, you've been up early, man. What is it like making that transition to from the whole show to Good Morning NoCo?
It's horrible.
Is it really? You sounded fine.
Yeah, it's just like early mornings are not my thing.
Yeah.
So when my alarm was going off for an hour before I woke up, and I was like, oh, I'm possibly going to be late.
Mm, but you made it here.
I did. I did make it here. I made Good Morning NoCo better.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
Did you? What kind of things did you bring to the table today?
I got a couple jokes in, which are widely considered the best jokes ever made.
Mm. I don't.
Considered
I,
by me.
I do doubt that. I doubt it. Your poll question was, what was the poll question today about the garden? How's your garden doing? You're not much of a gardener, are you, Mike?
Well, I don't own land.
Oh, yeah.
So I probably wouldn't have a... I would be a black thumb, I think. I would put plants in the ground and they would just die.
But we are the opposite of that. My wife is the green thumb queen. She loves to garden and we have a massive one now. And she had the idea of putting pavers in throughout the garden in between the planters and all this stuff. So that has been my quest. It's like 75 pavers, Michael. They're each like 60-some pounds, placing those. That has been my journey this summer, and I'm almost done. Almost done.
Well, good for you. Do you have anything edible, or is it all just vegetables?
Oh, yeah, no. Well, yeah, vegetables are edible. What else? What else?
Vegetables.
What else are you garden?
I mean, edible by me. Something that my stomach can keep down.
What else is edible in a garden that's not a vegetable, Michael?
I mean, they're vegetables. They're not. You can grow some fruits in there, like tomatoes.
Is a tomato a fruit?
Yes, it is. It has seeds.
I thought it was a vegetable.
It's culinarily considered a vegetable, but scientifically, it is a fruit.
I don't believe that. I don't buy that. I'm still calling it a vegetable.
Tanner agreed with me this morning.
Mm.
So Tanner.
So if it has
and...
seeds, it's a fruit. It's a fruit.
It's technically a fruit.
Don't they all have seeds?
Kind of like an avocado.
Is a cucumber a fruit because it has seeds? Is a cucumber a fruit or a vegetable?
I believe it is a fruit because it has.
Is squash a fruit or a vegetable?
I don't know what a squash is.
There's seeds in it. They all have seeds in them.
Squash is what happens when I play sports. I get squashed.
That's weird.
It's also, I think, a sport itself.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I don't think that you're right on the if it has a seed, it's a fruit thing.
I am right.
Hmm. So if it's a root type of deal, that's a vegetable. Is a carrot a vegetable?
I'm not sure.
That's
because I know.
That's, that doesn't have a seed.
I know peanuts are not nuts. They're legumes or whatever.
So why do they call them peanuts?
I don't know.
Hmm. We tried to grow peanuts once. Did not go well. That was hard.
I know someone who tried to grow some pineapples, and they were very tiny.
Hmm. Well, this was a fun conversation. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What else is on your mind?
Oh, I was going to say, like, what crops do you think Jokic is is going to try to grow. And then you could go, let's talk about Peyton Watson.
That was how you were going to get there for us?
Yes, yes. I was going to switch us on the track of sports.
Well, this Peyton Watson thing is getting kind of crazy. And Tanner's starting this like false narrative about me that I'm saying feel sorry for Peyton Watson. I don't feel sorry for him. I just think that the Nuggets have kind of botched this a little bit. I wouldn't have said, hey, you know, we're blocking, we're going to match 30. I would have just said, we're going to likely match any kind of offer that comes into Peyton Watson. I know that's the same thing, but for some reason, tagging the $30 million onto it, I think has kind of set this whole thing on fire. The question I have, though, is Peyton Watson really worth all of this? Like, this is a 2 years ago, I would have called you crazy if you would have said, in 2 years, Peyton Watson is going to be holding the Nuggets roster, the Nuggets management hostage. But here we are. And that seemingly is the move, the only move the Nuggets can make to try to move this thing along. And they're definitely in a tough spot right now. And it kills me. Because you have the greatest player ever, and you haven't really done much to build on that after the championship run. Now, you made the hire. Yesterday we talked about Dave Yeager being hired. Michael, why are we acting like this is the first time an organization has hired a veteran coach to be an assistant coach? Why are we acting like this is a new thing?
It happens all the time. The Broncos did that when they couldn't, you know, work the play clock. They hired someone hey, coach, get the time in.
Yeah.
I forgot who that guy was.
Well, and that's a bad example because that was a train wreck. And that it was under Nathaniel Hackett.
And he couldn't hack it. I've made that joke before.
And it's not good. It wasn't good then. It's not good now.
It was good and it still is.
Still not good, Mike. Still not good. But
anyone who's worried about that, like, they're hiring him to make the Nuggets better. I don't think it's a slight to the head coach or to any of the players or the organization itself. You have a pretty young head coach who took over at a weird time. It's okay to get another guy in to help him out.
I don't have an issue with this at all, and I disagree with Keeler on this. Like, it's good for the Nuggets, but bad for David Adelman. I mean, since when is hiring the guy's been an assistant coach for a while now? It's not like you're hiring a fresh off the press coach that, you know, has taken his team to the playoffs all the time, and now he's your assistant. We do this in sports, Mike. It's July, I guess. We're in this mode of we have to talk about the sky is falling. Bo Nix's ankle, the Nuggets hiring an assistant coach. That's the end for David Adelman.
Brady, the sky is always falling in the sports world.
And I don't really feel that way. Except for the Rockies last night. 14 million errors and we have issues.
So, yeah, that was a joke. They played defense like me.
Oh, that was bad. Fun game. Actually entertaining game. But just kind of the Rockies right now, still trying to figure out this whole win thing. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yeah, I see Keeler's article, and we'll have Keeling Me Softly today. That's going to be at 12:35 today, Michael, just for your notes. Nuggets hiring Dave Yeager is good for Nikola Jokic, but could be very bad for David Adelman. Denver has a new lead assistant coach. And fans frustrated with Adelman have a new favorite replacement option hovering just over his shoulder. I mean, that's a plan. If the Nuggets are bad to start the season a month or two in, and I'm talking bad, like 10 games under 500, then you could make the move and Dave Yeager's the coach. And sure, I'm not denying that that's a possibility. But I don't look at this as a, hey, we just hired your replacement. That, I mean, even though it could happen, I don't think that's like the plan. That's the parachute plan if this thing goes south.
Even if they did hire his replacement, like they think Adelman's not the guy, but they want to, you know, get someone new in, at least they have a plan. This is good news.
He's a year in. Now we can argue whether or not it was a good decision to hire David Adelman in the first place. I know Kroenke's very big. He kind of takes the Rockies playbook here, or at least their old playbook, of, I think Kroenke even said it at one point, Mike, like, if we're going to hire, we're always going to try to hire within. And we're going to promote guys.
How did that work out for the Rockies?
Yeah. It's not always an amazing plan, but that's what Kroenke believes right now, is we're gonna hire within. So we hire him, we get him here, and then we just promote. What they did with Tenzer and Wallace as their GMs. So they kind of have a dual GM situation, and some believe they're now going to have a dual coach situation. The Nuggets are definitely operating at an odd pace right now, but I don't think the Dave Yeager thing is anything but good.
And at what point do they go into the third apron, which is going to be called the Denver Nuggets?
Why is that?
Well, I mean, they're just not being responsible with their money. So I'm making a joke that they will be so bad in the future with their
money. Do you think it's wrong for, speaking of the other thing we started talking about, was Peyton Watson? It's reported that he specifically, his agency is singling out Christian Brown, saying he wants to be paid more than Christian Brown.
I think agencies sometimes should shut up and go, hey.
Well, they're trying to lobby for the best deal they can get for their player, Mike. A lot of this, like, we always just say Peyton Watson's being a baby. He's being a petulant child. I've seen this on X. It's his agency. They're the ones doing this. They create the narrative that we are following here to try to boost up their player so he can get paid. So they can get paid. That's how this thing goes, Mike.
Yeah, so they create that narrative so the player doesn't necessarily have to say, this is what I want. But sometimes I feel like these narratives are completely contrived based off of zero truth. Like, does Peyton Watson have some kind of, like, well, I'm better than that guy, so I should get paid
more?
Well,
they were drafted the same year, so they were rookies the same year. Christian Brown was an asset to the team his rookie year. Peyton Watson didn't play. I mean, a lot of what Brown did his first year is why the Nuggets gave him that kind of money. And they're desperately trying not to make the same mistake, I want to say twice, but they've made this mistake a lot over the last couple of years. I think Michael Porter Jr., Zeke Nagy, Christian Brown, there's just a couple of nasty contracts that have really handcuffed this Nuggets organization, and they're trying not to double down on that, because worst case scenario is you do sign Peyton Watson to a five-year deal.
And he sucks.
And they all suck. Like, Brown's not playing up to it. Watson doesn't play up to it. You're not able to move off Zeke Nagy's contract.
Curse of the contract. A lot of times people get that contract and suddenly they'll get hurt or they're just not
as good.
Is
there an example of, like, when you sign that monster contract for a player that they rock? I think Patrick Sertan's probably a pretty good example of that so far.
He's a good example, but there's still a lot of people, like the Broncos, Tim Patrick kept getting hurt right after he signed that contract. Von Miller,
that was a bad one.
Good.
That was a bad one. And I was really passionate about signing that contract. I thought they should have done it, and that kind of bit him in the butt for a while.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I disagree with you. Like, I was glad to have him there. It was a little expensive, but I was glad to have him there. I just didn't, like, he wasn't horrible, but he wasn't worth the contract.
I think Joker's obviously a good example. He's lived up to his contract extensions. You know, he's been great. Jamal Murray, kind of mixed bag, I suppose. But I think most Nuggets fans, for the most part, would say, yeah, he's worth it.
You need the Murray fury throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag that.
The whole thing?
Murray.
You need the Murray flurry throughout the year? Murray flurry.
Fury.
No, it's flurry.
He's got to get.
By the way, speaking of that, because that was a Chris Marlowe thing, have we heard who's going to broadcast the Nuggets games this upcoming year? Because Marlowe and Hastings, that was a big story. We just had Dempsey on, who's not going to be doing studio work anymore. We still haven't heard who's going to broadcast the games. I'm very curious to see what the Nuggets end up doing. There's a lot of influx surrounding the Nuggets right now, even when it comes to their play-by-play, their broadcast team. Figure it out. It's July 29th.
I don't have anything new.
Nothing new?
Nothing new, no.
Do they go in-house?
I mean, the Nuggets
go
are going in-house.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do there.
Look, my thing is, as far as in-house hiring, if you have a good history of having quality leadership in that organization, not like the Rockies, hire from within. If the Broncos have a bunch of like good like talent in coaching in the front office, hire from within. But if you're like the Rockies and everything's just bad, hire from without.
I was thinking about this. The Broncos, what is one big position that maybe we don't talk about as much, or maybe we do, that the Broncos have that the Nuggets don't seem to have, the Rockies are trying to have? They have Greg Penner. You know, Greg Penner's owner slash ruler of things for the Broncos.
He's qualified.
Right. And
he's
so
proven.
Josh Kroenke is kind of supposed to be the Greg Penner. And Kroenke, he hasn't been vocal a lot over the years, but over the last few years, he's been more vocal. And it seems like the more vocal Josh Kroenke is, the more we hear from him, the further the Nuggets take steps back, it seems like.
I was just thinking, like, does Kroenke need to hire himself a co-owner?
Well, it's Stan, and then it's Josh.
I know, but like,
yeah,
maybe the Walmarts should buy more of Colorado sports.
They just all own them all. They've got a piece now of the Rockies, so maybe they should just. And again, the Kroenkes are very successful. Obviously, they have a lot of championships between their, what do they have, four or five teams now? They have the Rams, they have the Avalanche, the Nuggets, they have a soccer team, a couple soccer teams. I know, you're not a soccer guy.
But they have a recent history of winning, too. I don't think they should.
They just won a soccer championship.
I was half joking. I'm not sure they should get more, like more franchises, because you're going to be overextending yourself. Unless, you know, Elder Kroenke has like 17 kids who are all
smart
in sports.
It's just a lot. Like, the balance is interesting. Like, Greg Penner is still doing his Walmart work, right? You know, he's able to do it. He's able to be that CEO and great and wonderful, and yet he's made all the right decisions when it comes to the Broncos. It just goes to show you how a legitimate ownership really can change the fate of your organization. Like, maybe we underrate that sometimes. And the Kroenkes are a legitimate ownership, but I'm saying the more we've heard from Josh Kroenke, it just seems like the worse this organization has got. Like, why do they have two GMs? They have two GMs. Why do they have two GMs?
Maybe they need it.
I don't get it. And so people are making that connection to Dave Yeager. Well, now you have two coaches. No, this is not a new thing in the NBA. This is not a new thing in sports. Teams hire veteran coaches all the time to join their staff, whether as an analyst or an assistant that's sitting right there on the bench. This is not a new thing. So that one I give the Nuggets a pass on. This is a great move by Denver.
Yeah, I looked up the Elder Kroenke's kids. It appears as if he has two. He has Josh and then Whitney Ann Kroenke, who is a award-winning documentary film producer.
Oh, she's not involved in the teams at all?
I mean, maybe she's making documentaries about the Nuggets.
I haven't seen that, if she is. So she's not very good at her job, if she's making a documentary that we have never seen.
Maybe he has some grandchildren who are, like, shockingly, like, maybe they started the kids early and he's got some 20-year-olds that he can hire. Some 20-year-old grandchildren.
I just think about the Broncos and where they've been the last, 4 years? Has it been 4 years now since the Walton Penner Group has taken over for the Broncos? Or has it been more than that?
Feels like four or five years.
They went through the rough patch at the beginning because I believe you brought on George Payton. That was a them move. And George Payton brought on Nathaniel Hackett. But the Broncos were quick to say, hey, no, this isn't going to work. And Nathaniel Hackett was fired after not even a full first year.
It has been almost 4 years. It was August 9th, 2022, which the city of Greeley should be celebrating.
So they hired, their first big move was kind of to hire George Payton, right? Or John Elway hired George Payton, but the ownership group had already taken over at that point, right?
And I think the ownership, like, you can't say everything is on the ownership, but a lot of it is
on
the ownership.
Well, think about this. At the end of the day, Mike, and I know this is a blasphemy to your brain, to your ears, but John Elway, after the Peyton Manning stuff was not good anymore.
Yeah, that was not his forte.
And it was tough.
Best quarterback of all time.
And he was good for a moment. He got Peyton Manning here. And everything else kind of fell. But
and didn't he draft Vaughn?
He did. Yeah, that was his first draft pick.
Two Ring of Famers.
Yeah, right.
Right there.
So he had his success. But after the Peyton Manning thing, it got worse. We all know the debacle, how he kind of botched the Brock Osweiler thing. And maybe that ruined him as a quarterback. I don't know. But this the Walter... Walton. My gosh,
that's why I call him the Walton.
The Walton Penner Group came in, and I do believe there were serious conversations with John Elway, of like, come on, man, you want to gracefully kind of just step aside, and you can say that you're elevating your job, but you're really not anymore, and you're going to hire George Payton, and you're going to go that route. I really believe those conversations were had.
I have no doubt, and sometimes you have to have those conversations. No matter how popular the person is.
Yeah, yeah. And again, the Avalanche, I think about the Kroenkes too. Well, they have Joe Sakic. Joe Sakic has been phenomenal in the John Elway role. And it's been consistent. You can argue all you want about how they didn't win the Stanley Cup this year. They underachieved, all that. I still think the Avalanche, for the past 5 years, Mike, the Avs have been considered a favorite to win a title. Every single year, there's not a ton of turmoil. I know there's the Nichushkin thing, but there's not a ton of turmoil during the offseason of, uh-oh, what are the Avs going to do? Oh, no, they're in trouble here. They don't really have those problems. Their problem is, how do they get over the hump and win a Stanley Cup every year? Like, those are the expectations for Avalanche fans. For the Nuggets, there's been a lot of turmoil since the Nuggets won a championship. A lot. Every single year, there's been something that's just off about this team. And Kroenke's admitted to being more involved with the Nuggets. Josh, more involved with the Nuggets than he is the Avs. He played college basketball, so he's a basketball guy. So he hires people to do things for the Avalanche that he cannot do for the Nuggets. I think he lends his voice a lot. There is a common denominator there. There is something that seems a little off about this whole situation.
I mean, I would do the same thing. If I was a qualified owner and I could run businesses, which I am not, I would do the same thing. Mm-hmm. If one of my businesses is struggling, I'm going to focus more on that business. If the other is doing well, I have someone hired to do that.
Or you do the opposite and say, this is a struggling business and I've been involved, I've been close to this, so I'm gonna go find other people to help salvage this situation.
And that would be a very smart move.
And the Nuggets have since, you know, they hired two GMs. And I feel like it was, again, Tenzer and Wallace. I even did a whole minute video about this last year after they traded Michael Porter Jr. I said, I owe you guys an apology. I think this whole dual manager thing is kind of working. Well, what'd they do with it? All the good grace that they built up by trading Michael Porter Jr. and bolstering the bench is gone. It's gone. Because Tim Hardaway Jr. is gone. Jonas Valanciunas, I mess those names up all the time, is gone. Bruce Brown is gone. So all these moves that you made by freeing up Michael Porter Jr.'s contract, it's all out there now. So wild conversation. This Peyton Watson thing certainly has taken us. I mean, I don't think this is ending anytime soon either. My question is, why can't you just sign him to a two-year deal? Why can't both sides just say, hey, let's call it what it is. Let's give you good money. Let's give you $22 million for 2 years. 22 a year for 2 years. There's your prove it. And you've got money. You signed a decent contract. Does it have to be a five-year deal? I maybe it does. Maybe with the CBA and whatever the hell this is, it has to be. 29 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. Keep it on the whole show. Sean Keeler coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Also, the Sophie Cunningham story. Why is this a big deal? Why is this a political deal when it's such an obvious deal? We'll talk about it. We'll get real on the whole show, Mike. We'll get real here. We'll be right back.
Did you know you can hear your favorite KFKA shows anytime?
Ooh. You want.
Find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and the whole show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310KFKA.com.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder. Would you be lightning or thunder on this show?
I would be thunder because I'm less dangerous.
Okay. That's actually a pretty good description. I'll
or if I was a reindeer, I'd be Donner.
What? What?
Donner is thunder and Blitzen is lightning.
What are you talking about?
You asked me if I'd be thunder or lightning.
But how does this have a connection with the reindeer?
I took German. I know the words to one Rammstein song, and that's all I remember.
I still don't know what you're saying. Is that German? Those names are German for those,
yeah,
those
Donner
words?
Donner and Blitzen, I believe, are German.
Well, how about that? I did not know the answer to that. That is amazing, Mike.
You are welcome. Yeah. I have made your day so much better, not only with the tomato knowledge and the Donner and Blitzen knowledge, but with my joke this morning that you refuse to admit is genius.
I forgot your joke. What was it?
Oh, I'm telling you
the
again.
Oklahoma one?
It was so great, it blew your mind.
No, it was terrible. Michael, have you paid attention much to the Sophie Cunningham story? She plays for the Indiana Fever, obviously. She's kind of a spark plug. A lot of people talk about her.
Yeah, she defends her girl a lot.
She does, and that's kind of how she got more famous, I think, because honestly, we weren't talking about Sophie Cunningham until that. Well, now she's pretty outspoken. She has podcasts. She's on doing the rounds. She does a lot of stuff. She's really interesting to listen to. She a couple weeks ago, she stated that it's common sense to protect female-only spaces and prevent transgender women from competing in women's sports. Did I say anything controversial just now? Did I say anything controversial?
I am offended.
So if you transition, if you are a man and you transition to be a woman and you are playing in sports, that's not right. It's not fair. And she's just saying something that's very obvious. Yet this is a political issue in the WNBA.
Of course it is.
Cunningham voiced support for barring transgender girls and women's and women from girls and women's sports in an ESPN article published last week. Cunningham was booed by Storm fans when she checked into Tuesday's game, as well as when attempting her first free throws. Now, she could be booed for many reasons. She's very popular. Popular players tend to get booed when they are visiting different arenas. But she's not saying she dislikes transgenders, or she's not even really going into the decision to do that. She's saying the most obvious thing in the world, and there are actually legitimate media members that are arguing against her.
Yeah, those guys are, I call them ghouls. They're kind of the, not all of them are white, but guilty white liberal,
and we say
pat
this,
myself on the back type.
We're saying this stuff like, and I've seen posts from people like in Denver, like reporters in Denver, saying sports is for everyone.
Yeah, it's for everyone,
sports
but not everyone
not,
can play against
Michael,
each other.
Sports is not a right. You don't just get to play professional sports. It's something you have to achieve. And if you are a man that's decent at sports and you transition to being a woman and now you are dominating a certain sport, that is cheating. That is not right. And I know it's not a thing. Like we have some stories. There are some stories, Michael, of, and I can't think of the person's name right now, but there are stories of an athlete that was pretty good as a male and then he transitions to be a woman, and now he or she is really, really good in the women's league.
There are a number of high school players. Like track is one of them where you had one kid transition to be a lady, and he just blew everyone else out of the water. You had that swimmer at...
I know the story.
It wasn't Indiana. I forget.
Leah Thomas, is that the one you're thinking? A swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania who won an NCAA Division I title in the 500-yard freestyle event in 2022, becoming a central focus in the national debate over collegiate athletic policies. Now, a lot of people that are arguing against or arguing for this are saying, yeah, this is one example. One example is too much. This is it's cheating. That's cheating.
It's
like you can't do it.
Men and women are built differently. They have strengths in different parts of their bodies. And men have bigger frame and thicker bones.
But why? I just, like, the Fever refuse. They're not answering. They're making no comment. ESPN's article, Fever do not answer questions about pro Sophie Cunningham rally. There's rallies around this. Listen, if you want to transition, you want to do that stuff, okay? Go do it. I don't care. But when it bleeds into something that just doesn't seem right, that's an issue, and it's the most obvious issue. Yet this is a political argument. That's fascinating to me. This is why politics blows my mind.
And also, this hurts biological women because someone's taking a roster spot.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. It's all virtue signaling. That's what it is. This is a new issue.
If this
and we're
happened,
jump on board and agree.
If this happened on a grand stage, which is what Sophie's talking about, like, okay, swimming. Okay, it's a story, and then we put it away because it's swimming. But if an NBA player that's not quite good enough to make the roster, he's a summer league guy, debating whether to go play overseas or keep giving it a shot in the NBA, transitions to be a woman and then gets on a team in the WNBA and is dominant. That's the story. And that's what the conversations like Sophie Cunningham, those are the conversations we're trying to have to prevent that because it's not right.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know if this is ever going to happen in the major sports, but it's happening to
kids
in school.
Yeah. You got a CC Telfer from a texter, a track and field athlete who won the NCAA Division II Indoor National Championship in the 400-meter hurdles in 2019 while competing for Franklin Pierce University. Laurel Hubbard, a weightlifter from New Zealand who became an international contender and competed in the women's super heavyweight division at the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. The fact that you have one of these stories is too much. It's not right for sports, and it's not right for women's sports.
Yeah, so the same thing happened, and I don't watch a lot of this, but what is that sport you guys like so much where they're not wearing shoes and they kick each other?
What?
I can't remember. It's in an octagon.
MMA?
MMA, yeah.
What are you saying, you guys? I don't watch MMA. I don't know what that – I don't watch it. So
okay,
I don't,
but a lot of people watch it.
Okay.
And there was a man who transitioned – to being a woman and started beating the hell out of women. She only lost because one of her opponents had superior technique. Like that, that's not fair for the women who are
right.
fighting.
And for people saying, throw the statistics out. There's a very small percentage of, I don't care. You can throw the statistics out all you want. One is too many. That's where I end the argument. One is too many. Is it taking over the world of sports? No. But the answer is one. If one person does it and has an advantage in a female sport, it is wrong and it needs to be stopped. So all this backlash that Sophie Cunningham's receiving for this, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is very nuanced situation.
Well, County Swabby saying it'll never happen in the major sports because there's not a woman good enough to play in the NFL, MLB, NBA, or NHL. Yeah, but talk about the reverse. I'm talking about a reverse of that. It could happen if there is a man that is not quite the example I laid out. If there's a man that's not quite good enough to make a roster in the NBA, if that person is going through something and decides to make a transition and says, I want to, you know, if I transition and go play in the WNBA, I will still make a living playing basketball. And I will make, you know, it's not great in the WNBA, but it's a living playing a game.
It would be, I think, probably the biggest, not a sport, soccer. If a man transitioned to a woman and played soccer, he might dominate. And that's going to piss off a lot of people.
Right. It could, if it happened once. And it is a sport, by the way. That's a terrible argument by you.
Not a sport.
I hate how you... you won't. You can never explain it to me, though. When I ask, you can never explain it to me. Wow. Explain it. Why is soccer not a sport?
Because it's stupid and boring.
See, that's what you say every time. This Mr. I watch YouTube documentaries all the time. Very uneducated response by you. Very uneducated. I was hoping, give me an educated response and I might go along on this journey with you, but why is it not a sport? They run. That's what they do in football. They try to get a ball into a goal. That's what they do in football. It's an end zone. Same thing. Hockey, same thing. Same kind of core philosophy there. So you know you're wrong on this. 43 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Yeah, it's a fascinating argument, I suppose, Mike, and it's not something that's taking over the world of sports, but I maintain that even one story of this is a little interesting. So the Sophie Cunningham thing there. I did see last night, too, the Fever, you know, speaking of the WNBA, and I couldn't help myself, I had to tweet this one out. The Fever, Indiana made scoring 100 points look easy. ESPN posted last night. First team in WNBA history to score 100-plus points in four straight games. Of course, that is where Caitlin Clark plays. And I tweeted out, let me guess, the WNBA is pissed. they don't know how to handle the success that they have. Maybe Caitlin Clark doesn't either. I don't know. But the league has no clue how to deal with this. And it starts from the top. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Eaton Country Club, Northern Colorado's hidden gem of a golf course, resides in Eaton, of course. At the at the country club, you can check out McCarty's Grill. If you want to become a member, you could sign up for tournaments that are open to the public constantly. Check them out at eatoncc.net. Michael, a little bit later on, we're going to have Sean Keeler from the Denver Post join us, and he's got his take on Dave Yeager. He also wrote a piece on Coach Prime and just how difficult it is going to be this season for him to dig out of this. You know, we've been talking this week a lot, Michael, about who interests you the most when it comes to the local college scene. It's fascinating just to kind of go through some of that. But it's definitely to the point now, Mike, it feels like put up or shut up time for Coach Prime. But can they really afford a buyout if he doesn't put up? If they win 2 to 3 games this year, which I think is a realistic possibility. I at the beginning of all this, I didn't know much about Coach Prime's coaching ability. I know what he did at Jackson State and thought, okay, you know, maybe he's not all talk. Maybe he actually is a pretty good coach. Because we compared it to the semi-Ed McCaffrey thing here with UNC, right? We made that small comparison. Because McCaffrey hired by the Bears, and it was like, boom, huge. And he only had 2 years of high school experience, so that's where I said it differed. Obviously, Ed McCaffrey's not as famous as Coach Prime, but he only had 2 years of high school. Coach Prime is actually coaching college. So I thought, well, that actually is going to transition better than what McCaffrey did. And the more we go into this thing, Michael, I'm left wondering just how good of an actual coach of X's and O's and whatnot Coach Prime really is. And if you're not really the X's and O's guys, which he's not, you have to be good at hiring and finding those guys that are. And he's had a difficult time of that. The Brendan Marion thing is interesting. That's my, like, the hanger on for me. That's why I'm somewhat hanging on to this Buffs team this year, because I'm very curious to see how that plays out. 11:51 the time. We'll take a short break here. We got the dude down the hall, and Tanner Schwinn going to join us in the 12 o'clock hour. Also, Sean Keeler of the Denver Post will join us from the Denver Post for Keeling Me Softly. Keep it here on The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear local news during your commute. Good morning, NOCO. Weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Breaking news. Bo Nix's ankle looks fine in training camp today. Are we done? Can we be done now? Can we be done with it now?
Like, no, it looks fine. We have to over-report.
He was throwing the ball. I love Zach Stevens, DNVR. Here's the update. I get they have to do this because it's training camp, it's their job. Bo practiced and appeared to not have any limitations. Bo took team reps for the first time this year. Bo looked sharp.
But how did Bo throw? That's what I care about.
I think the ankle's actually going to be better. I think it's stronger now. I think it's actually like a robotic ankle. I do. I think he's like part, only half human now. Can we be done now? Are we done? He looks fine. Anything else is new news. He gets hurt or something, but he looks fine. No more Bo ankle. No more worry about it. Let's just worry about him as an actual player. Top story of the day, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.